So, Jonathan, Javier, welcome to Lenza Q&A. I want to begin by just asking you who you are and have you tell us a little bit about your background.
Of course. Well, first up, Brad, thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it. My name is Jonathan Javier. I'm the CEO founder of Wandsulting, which mission is to turn underdogs into winners. So helping those who come from non-traditional backgrounds and non-target schools and then help them get into their dream careers. So far I've done like now over 210 speaking engagements in the past 2 years in 9 different countries, which is crazy, right? So previously worked at Snapchat, Google, and Cisco before doing Wandsulting full time. And yeah, I mean, we've grown immensely throughout the past couple of years. I think in total now we have over 700,000 followers on all our different platforms like LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. And I've been featured on Forbes, Business Insider, Yahoo News, LinkedIn News, JobScan, and all these ones as one of the top job search experts, which I'm super excited to share some of the different bread and butter of Wandsulting that we always teach to help more underdogs turn into winners, as we love to say.
Yeah, could you tell me a little bit more about that motto, turn underdogs into winners? Where did it come from and what's the story?
Yeah, so it actually came from one of the novels from Malcolm Gladwell, or a lot of folks know it, David and Goliath. Basically, it was in regards to how do the Davids beat the Goliaths? Basically, how do the people who come from underrepresented backgrounds get into their dream companies? I've always felt that underdog mentality when I attended a so-called non-target school when I was at UC Riverside trying to get into my career in tech. And I always remember clicking that application button, and I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I get an interview today. When in fact, none of those led to interviews. All those led to were simply emails that simply stated, unfortunately, we've decided to, AKA rejection. But as I like to say, rejection is always redirection. And that's why I try to teach every single day the strategies that people can utilize again to their careers without even ever applying. So that's how I've been able to structure everything. And everybody has an underdog mentality, no matter what school you come from, no matter what ethnicity are you. The underdog mentality is what contributes to society and what helps people become better than they are today.
I love that. So, why do you think LinkedIn plays such a big role in job search today?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn plays a huge role in hiring right now, mainly because we are in a virtual world, obviously. But the thing is, people always think about proactive recruiting, as we call it at Wandsulting. So how do you proactively reach out to someone who works in your dream company? And then how do you reach out to them, build rapport, network, which can lead to an interview and then a job, right? So that's one part you can utilize on LinkedIn. But the thing is, building a personal brand or a digital presence on LinkedIn where opportunities come to you instead of you having to seek opportunities all the time, which is reactive recruiting, is what's even more beneficial. Why I say this is because all my roles that I've worked in at Snap, Google, Cisco actually never applied. It was just LinkedIn. So if you're able to build a digital brand where I say for myself, when I see, let's say I see Brad, I'm like, Brad, oh, Brad is inspirational. Brad is a marketing expert. Brad is great at SQL. And you can put those few words in a few seconds. That in turn, imagine a recruiter thinking that about you when they're about to get you for a specific position. That builds that brand around you, which will allow you to move on further in rounds and lead you to that offer.
Okay, so you're kind of proactively setting their expectations, almost the way an ad works when you drive someone to a landing page. The landing page has to be optimized for the experience of the person who clicks. So it's kind of what you're
Exactly.
doing in a way.
Exactly, right? Yeah, that. And then also, like, instead of applying, like we say all the time, like, when you apply, you go through an ATS, as they say, right? But the thing is, why not get hired by an actual human being? Reach out to hiring managers, go reach out to professionals, get referred. We'll put you in the referral pile rather than a simple application file that everyone goes through.
So you do outreach directly then. Like what do those messages look like? How do you
Yeah.
structure them?
Personalized invites, so key. And why I say this is, like, Brad, if I'm being honest, I have about 5,000 pending requests on LinkedIn right now. The difference between all of them and the ones that I accept is a personalized invite. Most people will not send personalized invites. It only takes you 30 seconds. All you got to do is send something with the three dots, click the button, connect, send an invite. Do not just click connect. just say, hey, Brad, hope you're doing well. Your introduction of yourself. My name is Jonathan. What your position is, currently CEO, founder of Onsulting. And then you say why you're interested in connecting. So for example, you can say, I saw that you are, you know, running a blog in regards to XYZ and loved reading in regards to XYZ. I'd love to connect. Something like that. Because that personalized invite is what allows you to give an introduction of yourself, but also shows you've done your research on that person, which builds rapport before even speaking.
Could you give a specific example of how you would structure one of those personalizations?
Yeah, of course. So for reaching out to someone, let's say, give me a company, for example, Brad.
Tesla.
Okay, it's Tesla. Let's say I'm going for a business analyst role, right? So what I would do is go on LinkedIn, I'd search business analyst, I'd filter to Tesla, I'd filter also my location. Let's say I'm trying to work in Fremont, which Tesla's at. And then what I would do is go to their invites. I click the three dots, I click personalized invite, and I would just say, hi, Brad, hope you're doing well. My name is Jonathan Abier. And let's say I'm a job seeker, and let's say I'm a student. I'm currently a fourth year business finance student at UC Riverside. I saw that you currently work at Tesla as a business analyst. And then what I'll do is I'll take something from their about section. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that they love BMWs. I don't know why you usually like BMWs when you're at Tesla, but whatever. I saw that you worked at Tesla and you love automobiles like BMWs. I'd love to connect with you and learn from you. Something like that. I'd love to connect and learn from you. You see? Okay. Because what you're doing is you're making it more personable and you're having a humanistic approach rather than you just simply saying, hey, Brad, hope you're doing well. Saw you worked at Tesla. I want to work at Tesla. Let's connect. See?
Right, right. But what about the ask? Like, how specific do you get? You just said, I'd love to connect and learn from you. Do you have any experience with how effective that is as opposed to directly asking for something? Or is it an intentional thing that you don't directly say, hey, I'm looking for a job?
Wonderful question. So my question is, if let's say, Brad, you reached out, if you worked at Tesla and someone said, Brad, I'd love to connect and get a job at Tesla, what would you say? Probably be like, I don't know about that, right? Yeah. But imagine I build rapport with you first, mm-hmm. and I actually establish a human connection and a personalization. Right. So the reason why I say to not say it, like, unless they're like hiring and they have the purple thing that says hiring, then you say that. But what I say is establish a rapport first. Because what matters is that first connection. Because once you get the first connection, then you can actually send a longer message, which will then share more of your story. But what I say all the time is get on the phone first before asking for a referral.
Okay. So you basically nurture the relationship just like you would in a real life situation.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. You talked about helping underdogs. How does someone who's an underdog or from a non-target school use that fact to their advantage, or do they?
Yeah, I think the storytelling is extremely important, especially for underdogs. Every person has their own underdog story. It doesn't have to be, for example, like you go to a school that doesn't get recruited from a lot of these big companies, but it could be instead your background. Maybe you went through a lot of different rejections and challenges throughout your life, both personally and your career. That is your underdog story. So why I always say the underdog story is because there's always, I remember when I was like, job seeking, I would compare myself to other people and I'd be like, wow, this person just got a job at Facebook. Oh, this person got a job at Google. But then I realized it's because they already had established connections, or they had like an uncle who worked there or an aunt, mm-hmm. right? So they could get in more easily than myself. The thing is with underdogs, when they're trying to get into their careers, I personally believe that because of all the hard work they have to put in to get to the point where they want to be, that translates to directly how their work entails when they're in that corporate or startup, et cetera, role. So that's how you embrace the underdog story. When you're able to share it, a lot of people will also correlate directly with it and be like, dang, I have that same story too. So for people who are underdogs, if you think you're alone, you're truly not.
Yeah. So if you're an underdog, just rock that look. Like embrace it, lean into it. I like exactly. that. I mean, you're basically saying what the elephant is in the room, and then people can identify with that, and in a sense, it becomes a strength.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. What if I do all of that? I go to my dream job. I follow all of the things that you, the advice that you just gave, and I get rejected. What do I do?
Good question. So what I say all the time is you only need one yes at the end of the day, right? The thing is, in life, rejections are going to happen. Setbacks are going to come. Setbacks are going to happen all the time. What I say all the time when I get a rejection or a setback, I say, dang, this will be a good story for my kids. Because when you think about it, if you keep on going and if you never stop trying, you'll never fail, right? So I think what happens a lot, and like Brad, like honestly, a lot of people's minds are intertwined with this, is we focus on the rejections rather than the acceptances. We focus on the people who don't respond to us rather than the people who do. We focus on the jobs who don't give us interviews rather than the jobs that do. You see, If people are able to change that mechanism in their mind to look at the positive aspects of life rather than the negative, that in turn gets you over the imposter syndrome, which allows you to grow and develop even more. And why I say this is I exhibit that same thing before. I'd be like, dang, like I'd be like, Brad, there's someone who commented really bad on my LinkedIn post. Oh, someone commented bad on my TikTok post. Now I'm like, please comment more, right? There's 99 people who support. There's 1% who don't. The 99% is what you focus on, not the 1%.
Yeah. And if you're not polarizing people, you're not a strong brand, right? That's the rule.
Exactly.
You have to be willing to accept it. It's the price of success.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Just to kind of wrap up, I was wondering if you could share a success story, someone you've helped recently.
Of course. So I actually had this success story. It's a great success story. She has been part of the Once Holden community since day one. And I actually met her when I was at Cisco. So her name is Serena. Serena Chow. She currently works at Cisco Meraki, but she's actually transitioning to a new role soon. She has been utilizing our strategy since day one. She's attended a lot of our different events. And the thing is, like, she was interviewing for so many different companies and getting rejected by a lot of them. The thing was, she was getting rejected in the final round. Like, imagine you going to a final round of an interview and spending a month and then getting rejected. It sucks, right? What I told her all the time, like stressing it, and it's more said than done, but rejection is truly redirection. What she kept doing is when she took one step back, she took 10 steps forward. And actually recently, because she kept pulling forward and we were interview prepping consistently, she actually landed an even higher position at Cisco on a different team and almost doubled her salary, which is insane, right? During a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So why I share the story of why it's an underdog story is because for her, she utilized all the strategies. Some of them helped. Some of them she got rejected for. The thing is, at the end of the day, all she needed was one yes. The one yes is what mattered. And that's what matters, especially when you were on your job search. So for those listening in, job search, one yes, you only need one job. That's all you need.
Lastly, how can people find you if they want to get in touch?
Yeah, of course. So find me on LinkedIn. My name is Jonathan Javier. I have an Instagram, which is Jonathan Words of Wisdom. And then TikTok, which is just Wansulting. And then we have our website on wansulting.com, which has been a lot of different services, a lot of free resources too as well, and a blog too as well. And our YouTube. Definitely check those out. But yeah, I mean, I think those are the ways you can find us, and email us at hello@wansulting.com and you say you heard us here.
All right, Jonathan, thanks for your time.
Of course. Thanks, Brad.